Thanks, Tess. Let's pray as we prepare to explore God's word together. Father, thank you for your word. We pray that your spirit would be at work now, helping us to understand it and apply it to our lives for Jesus' glory. And we pray these things in his name. Amen. So I want to begin by asking you to cast your mind to the week ahead. Where will you be spending most of your time? And who will you be spending it with? Maybe it will be as a student studying with fellow classmates. Perhaps it will be in paid employment, interacting with colleagues and clients. Maybe it will be spent at home with children. Perhaps it will be in the community volunteering. Whatever space you've identified, we might call this space our work or our frontline. If we're followers of Jesus, we want to recognise the way that God is at work, not just on Sundays, but on our front lines throughout the week too. As we continue our gospel-shaped sermon series tonight, we'll be considering the question, what does it look like to be gospel-shaped on our front lines? The London Institute for Contemporary Christianity, LICC, has developed a really excellent framework using 6 M's to help us unpack this. And I'll be drawing on their content throughout this sermon. We're going to have a look at these M's in turn. On our front lines, we can model godly character, make good work, minister grace and love, mould culture, be a mouthpiece for truth and justice, and be a messenger of the gospel. So let's begin with the first M. On our front lines, we can model godly character. When we become Christians, God gifts us with his Holy Spirit. Through his Spirit, each day he forms our character to be more like Jesus by helping us to become bearers of the fruits of the Spirit. We read about these fruits in Galatians chapter 5. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Australian Christian historian John Dixon says that most Australians have two forms of Christianity in their heads. On the one hand, the judgmental, moralistic, hypocritical kind, and on the other hand, the Christianity that displays these fruits. That's the fruits of the Spirit. Displaying the fruits of the Spirit gives those around us an opportunity to see what Jesus is like. We might be the best version of Jesus they meet until they meet Jesus himself. On our front lines, maybe this looks like displaying self-control by keeping a cool head when a colleague or someone we're serving is provoking us. Maybe it's promoting peace by mediating an argument between two businesses. Perhaps it's bringing joy by encouraging those around us in the local community. Now you might be thinking, clearly you can be a nice person without being a Christian. And you're right. You don't have to be a Christian to show kindness, patience, gentleness and goodness. You don't have to follow Jesus to be loving, joyful, peaceful and self-controlled. And even sometimes, on the flip side, the behaviour of Christians can be pretty terrible. That makes it difficult for people to tell the difference that Jesus makes. The Cape Town Commitment, developed by Worldwide Christians in 2010, says, when there is no distinction in conduct between Christians and non-Christians, for example, in the practice of corruption and greed or sexual promiscuity or attitudes towards people of other races or consumerist lifestyles or social prejudice, then the world is right to wonder if our Christianity makes any difference at all. So then, what is the difference between Christians and non-Christians? Jesus' grace and the presence of his Holy Spirit. If we have a week when we're meeting all our deadlines, we might think, I am so good and kind and peaceful on my front line this week. Or when our projects are delivered on time, we might think, I'm so self-controlled and gentle and loving. Or if we're having a week where the kids are behaving themselves, we might think, I'm so joyful and patient and faithful, I am nailing this. But what about the days and weeks when the deadlines are looming, the pressure's building, the kids are sick, and we're not feeling 100% ourselves? That's when we really clock our need for Jesus and his Holy Spirit. He gives us strength when we are weak. It's not about us trying harder, but about asking God's power to work through us by his grace and the power of his Spirit. That way, when the pressure is on, the fruit of the Spirit can still be on display. Perhaps this week you might like to ask God for his grace to develop in you the fruit of the Spirit. You might like to focus on one of the fruits in particular that you'd like him to grow. On our front lines, we can model godly character. That brings us to our second M. On our front lines, we can make good work. Sometimes our everyday task can seem a bit meaningless or just a means to an end. But in our second reading, Colossians 3:23-24, we read, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving." The LICC reflects on this and says, "Independent of anyone else, we can do everything. The fun, the interesting, the big, the small, the mundane, and the just plain boring for the glory of God, to impact on people and the world he created and redeems with joy, for it's the Lord Christ we are serving." Doesn't really matter what job we're doing. There's dignity and value in our everyday tasks when we do them for Jesus. Peter Adam, who's the former principal of Ridley College, once said, "Whenever I clean my bathroom sink, I say to God, that was for you." We don't need to just phone it in. When we fold that washing well, when we produce great food, God sees it and it matters. When we make something excellent with our hands or when we consult well with people, God notices and it's for his glory. We'll all have different experiences with earthly bosses, but if we're Christians, we ultimately have the best boss in King Jesus. So let's work faithfully and with joy for our heavenly master. On our front lines, we can make good work. That brings us to our third M. On our front lines, we can minister grace and love. God has shown us ultimate grace and love in Jesus' death and resurrection, and he invites us to pass this grace and love on to others. In Matthew 25, Jesus says that when we feed the hungry, give the thirsty something to drink, invite the stranger in, clothe the naked, and visit the sick and those in prison, we not only serve that person, but we also serve Jesus himself. So when we provide a listening ear for a friend or buy a thoughtful gift for a colleague, we are serving Jesus. When we treat someone in our local community with human dignity and provide for their needs, we are ministering grace and love to Jesus himself. Jesus also speaks of going out of our way to show people this grace and love. In Matthew chapter 5, he talks about going the extra mile for others. In the context of the first century, Roman law said that a centurion could make any non-Roman citizen pick up their baggage and walk a mile with it. So Jesus raises the level. He says, if anyone forces you to go 1 mile with them, go 2 miles. He's encouraging his followers to surprise people and catch them off guard with love and grace. Now, the purpose of this is not to get a higher wage or because it looks good on our CV, but so that others may catch a glimpse of the grace and love of God. Now, just to be very clear, Jesus is not saying here that we should let ourselves be taken advantage of. Our response to go the extra mile should be voluntary. Coerced service is not loving in either direction. So if you are in a space where you're being abused or mistreated, please do seek the professional help that you need. But in most cases, with most people, we can, in a really healthy and godly way, go the extra mile in showing love and grace. However, we so often don't. Why? Early church father Augustine spoke of this idea of humanity being curved in on itself. This is the sinful human condition. It means that we have a tendency to focus on our own needs and desires. It also means that we struggle to see the needs and desires of others and respond to them. So what's the answer? Jesus' grace. Rather than trying to uncurve ourselves in our own strength, through Jesus, we must die and rise to new life. When we are given new life in Jesus through his death and resurrection and the gift of his Spirit, we can minister to others with grace and love. We can be that person who goes to help out a friend when we still have an unwritten essay due. We can be the boss who doesn't just fire someone, but gently offers support and comfort in a redundancy meeting and even follows up afterwards. We can be the person who gets a timely cup of coffee for a colleague. We can be someone who takes 10 minutes out of our day to talk stuff over with someone who's struggling. On our front lines, we can minister grace and love. Now to our fourth M. On our front lines, we can mould culture. Culture can be thought of the way we do things around here. Moulding it means making changes to dynamically express Christian values. Jesus says to his followers in Matthew 5, "You are the salt of the earth and the light of the world." How are we being salt and light on our front lines? How are we preserving our front lines from evil and bringing great flavour to them, like salt? And how are we bringing light into the dark places of our contexts? The first step is to discern the current culture of our front line. To do this, we might ask diagnostic questions like, what is celebrated? How are people treated when things go wrong? What things are treasured? Where are shortcuts taken? What priorities are at the top of the list? How is conflict resolved? Whose opinions are listened to? What art and aesthetic is on display? What phrases are repeated? What type of humour is present? Then we might ask the question, how am I enabling, disabling, or influencing this culture? If we say and do nothing, we're also making a statement. If we're Christians, how can we positively influence the culture on our front lines so that everyone can thrive? Perhaps it looks like being the person who counters the blame culture of the corporate world by admitting when we've made a mistake. Maybe it means offering forgiveness to others when they slip up and make mistakes. Possibly it looks like quenching gossip with a positive word for someone who's always the butt of the jokes. Perhaps it means championing trust and honesty in our departments. Maybe it looks like nurturing a safe space for the rest of our team to work well in. As Christians, let's be the ones to proactively go first so that others may follow. On our front lines, we can mould culture. Now to our fifth M. On our front lines, we can be a mouthpiece for truth and justice. This is about becoming champions of right living and fair dealing in our everyday lives by combating lies and working for justice. Micah 6:8 says, "And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God." Our God is a God of mercy and justice, and we are called to walk closely with him. We might consider justice in a national or global sense, and we're certainly called to speak up in these spaces. But we're also called to speak up on our more direct front lines. How can we be a mouthpiece for truth and justice there? It could be as simple as refusing to engage in gossip at the school gate. It might look like speaking up for a colleague who's been overlooked. Perhaps it could mean looking after the area of responsibility that God has given us and looking after it well. Maybe it could look like making sure other people get the credit they deserve when we could have taken it for ourselves. Big or small, being a mouthpiece for truth and justice looks like standing up, often at personal cost, to promote good, fair and just practices. Maybe you're feeling overwhelmed by all of this. Maybe you're feeling exhausted by the thought of giving out again and again. That's why we desperately need Jesus to fill us with his grace and his spirit so that we can give out to others. What are the issues of injustice on your front line? How can you, empowered by God's spirit, help? On our front lines, we can be a mouthpiece for truth and justice. That brings us to our sixth and final M. On our front lines, we can be a messenger of the gospel. Now, the first five M's we've looked at are all important, but if we miss the sixth M, people on our front lines might struggle to connect the dots to Jesus. It's important that at some point we share the good news of the gospel. The good news that Jesus has lived, died, and risen again, taking the punishment that we deserved for our sin. The wonderful news that he's poured out his spirit and will one day return to make all things right once and for all. Romans 10:14 says, "How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them?" And 1 Peter 3:15, "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have." Always, perhaps especially when you're tired, grumpy, and in a hurry. Being a messenger of the gospel doesn't necessarily look like going through a gospel outline on a napkin in the lunchroom. It might simply look like testifying to God's action in your life where it's appropriate to do so. It's about having an intentionality to share something of Jesus with those around you, and when you can, to communicate the message of the gospel. Now, this might be the point where you start to get a bit nervous. Maybe you're thinking, "I'm not confident enough for this." But here's the thing. When we become Christians, God fills us with his spirit to give us the confidence we need to share of him. It'll most likely be uncomfortable broaching the topic for the first time. Australians are generally not used to speaking about deeper things. But can you get past that discomfort by practicing moving beyond surface level conversations? How can you get your reps in so that talking about Jesus becomes more natural? We'll be considering the theme of evangelism a bit more throughout Hope 25 after Easter as well. In Australia as Christians, I think we can tend to fear too much the minor pushback we might receive for sharing our faith. Long-term Middle East missionary Max Stiles says, "Most Christians in the world must fear the raised fist. Christians that aren't severely persecuted fear the raised eyebrow." Do people on your front line know that you're a Christian? I personally can't dodge it with my job. When people ask me what I do and I say I'm a Christian minister, they're usually interested and curious. If you have the opportunity to share your faith, it's good to try and use language that's understandable to most Australians. Here's just one example I heard recently that you could use to explain why you're a Christian. "I believe I was made to make the world a better place. I believe the best way to do that is love. I believe the most powerful love is found in Jesus." You might like to give it a go and see where the conversation leads. On our front lines, we can be a messenger of the gospel. So that's our six M's. On our front lines, we can model godly character, make good work, minister grace and love, mold culture, be a mouthpiece for truth and justice, and be a messenger of the gospel. These six M's all work together. Hearing about a God of love becomes far more believable when you've experienced this love through human action. A God of justice makes more sense when you've seen his follower stand up in the face of unfair practices. So whether we're students, working in an office, stay-at-home parents, or volunteering in the community, let's live out these M's on our front lines. Let's do it for God's glory and that others may know him. Let me close with this prayer from the LICC. Father, help us to do good on our front lines this week and shape these places to your design. Help us to see the value our work has to you. Model your kindness and patience through us so that you are recognised. May others see your light through our presence. Give us your joy and self-control so that your warmth touches those we meet. Help us to be generous and quick to put others first. Help us to share clearly of your love and grace. Give us courage to stand for justice and truth. Give us words to speak about you. Whatever the week brings in our humanity and weakness, break through. Let our lives overflow with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.